Well, good morning. I want to let all the tiny tots know it is time to go so our 3 to 4 year olds can meet Miss Erin, who's standing back there at the door. You can go and join her back there right now. All our tiny tots, 3 and 4 year olds, meet Miss Erin. She's waiting for you. I want to just start off by sharing that over the last few days, the church leadership, so our elders, our staff, our ministry coordination team leaders, all of us were out at WMAVA and doing our annual leadership retreat, which is something very special. We spend time together. We pray a lot together. We spend time seeking God's guidance, His will for us as a family. Where are we going? Where is it that God needs us to go? Specifically, in the coming year of 2022, how is He going to use this particular family for his glory, for kingdom growth? And so in saying that, I want to say there's a lot of things that will come that we'll share with you guys over the many coming months. But I just want to say personally, I love our leadership team. We have some incredible elders, some great staff, and our ministry coordination team leaders are amazing. And I hope y'all when you get time, tell them that. You see an elder, you see a staff member, you see one of these ministry co-leads, talk to them and say thank you for the work that you do, because they pour into you. Y'all know that? They pour into you because they love you. They love their father, and they love their brothers and sisters. As we start this morning, I want to pray one of the prayers that we prayed through the weekend, and I just want to pray it in a way that brings us all into a place where we are humble before God. Don't we need to be there? We need to be humble before Him. Pray this prayer with me. Take, Lord, and receive all our liberty, our memory, our understanding, and our entire will, all that we have and call our own. You have given all to us. To you, Lord, we return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give us only your love and your grace. That is enough. Amen. Is it enough? We prayed that prayer this weekend, and then we asked that question immediately. Is it enough? When in our lives do we feel that God's love and grace is enough? All the other stuff is stuff, things that can help us love God even more because He gave them to us. They're gifts. This morning, I get to talk with you again. So last in August, it's been over a month since I've got to talk with you guys. So I feel like it's been weird. I've been on travel and all that sort of stuff. But last month, I talked to you about discipleship. Guess what I'm going to talk to you about this morning? Discipleship, all right? We're going to talk about it again because we're going back to basics. We're reorienting ourselves as we're coming out of the caves of the past year. We're reorienting ourselves to who we are as a church family. And one of those things that are very core, at our very core, is discipleship. Let me tell you this. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. It is a part, it's how God designed things. And as a church family, make an intentional effort toward fostering spiritual growth. We want to be people, a family here, that makes disciples who make disciples, because that's what God told us to do. It's our directive. So within this in mind, we seek to allow God's Spirit and God's Word to infiltrate all areas of our life and ministry. We use that as a guide for what we do here in order that we all may become devoted followers of Jesus Christ, no matter what age, gender, race you are. We are all His. Period. We recognize that as humans, we often are going to fail at this, all these efforts that we make, but we trust that God will lead us. and that he has the ability to take all that is us back to where, I don't know where Mark went, but back to taking the tools of the trade and allowing God to use his tools. So I've got to ask a weird question. Are you a tool? The answer is yes. I'm in the master's hand. He can do great things with you. Great things with you. Paul said to this to the Colossians, he said, we toil and we struggle with the energy and the power of Christ to do this, for this purpose, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Y'all realize that that's what the family tries to do here. We toil and we struggle so that we may present you mature in Christ, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God for your life. We find that Paul saying that to the Colossians. But then Paul also went on and he said this. And I want you to feel this, because this is a feeling statement. Paul says to the Galatians, he says, my little children. Y'all feel that? My little children. Were they adults? Yes. But they are children of the faith. And he says to him, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. I don't know if you know this, but do you know that there are people praying for you all the time? Do you know that? That people in this church pray for you by name as in anguish in childbirth until Christ is formed in you, in your children, in your husband, in your wife, in your friends, in your family, till Christ is formed in you. How's that make you feel? To know that people love you that much, and you may not have even talked to them and known they were doing it. Y'all ever had someone say, come up to you and say, I've been praying for you. Anybody? How's it make you feel? I received an email this past week. I won't embarrass this individual. They said, Phil, I'm praying for you today. What can I pray for you? As soon as I read that, my heart just enlarged. It did, because I knew I wasn't alone. I hope that you're hearing that we deeply desire that each member of our family is going to be formed, conformed, and transformed into the image of Christ. Spiritual transformation is that lifelong process of learning how to love as Jesus loved. That doesn't happen in a day, does it? Anybody in here, can you hold up your hand and say, I know now I love exactly like Jesus loves? Anybody? But do you love more like Jesus loved today than you did yesterday? And if you do, then you're growing. If you don't, then you're not. Pretty simple, isn't it? Spiritual growth and transformation does not happen, and I want y'all to hear this, because this is it kind of goes against what our culture teaches us. Spiritual formation and growth does not happen in isolation. It's a communal effort. As God said way back in the beginning when he said it's not good for man to be alone, I'm pretty sure God would look at us and say, it's not good for someone to grow alone. It's not good. But in our culture, and even in the culture of church culture, we often see spiritual growth as something that's, we do it alone. That's my thing. I got to hold on to that. So to become the disciple I want to become, I'm going to do that in isolation and secret, because it's not your right to take a look at my growth and judge it. In fact, too many today claim that they hate the church but love Jesus. Is that possible? Is it? I heard three people. Is that possible? It is an impossibility to hate the church but love Jesus. Why? The church is Jesus' body. He died for that body. He went to the cross for that body. So to say you hate the church is to say what? I hate the body of Christ. Don't forget, Christ died for the church, and he established the church as a means through which people not only get to know who he is and come to faith in him, but also as a means to grow together. We need each other. Some of you hear that word and go, whoo, yes, Phil, preach it. And some of you hear that when I say we need each other and go, ugh. I kind of like it by myself. Without each other, we will be more likely to cease growing and become complacent in our salvation. Without people, we become complacent in salvation. And what I mean by that statement of complacent in our salvation is, well, at least I'm saved. And that's your excuse for everything. Yeah, I don't go do this, and I don't take part in that because I'm saved. At least I'm saved. Does anybody in this room want to be complacent in your salvation? If we don't, then there's something on our part that we have to do to join what the family's already doing in order that we together as a family can grow. Because how does the world get to know who Jesus is? Through the church. All men will know you're my disciples by how? By how we love each other. And how do you love people that you're never around? The famous preacher, D.L. Moody, he encountered this sort of ideology even in his own time. It's not new to humankind in our time. It's always been that way. And he definitely experienced it in this conversation that he had with a prominent, well-to-do, wealthy citizen of Chicago. And so the man invited Moody into his home, and the two went, and they sat by a fireplace, and they were having a conversation. And during that conversation, it came up that you have to be connected to the church. That that's part of growth, and that's how you'll become the person that God has called you to be. To which the man told Moody, I believe I can just be as good a Christian outside the church as I can be inside it. In other words, what he was telling Moody was he didn't need the church to grow. He could be a good Christian all by himself. At this, Moody didn't say a word. They were sitting by the fireplace, and he saw the tongs sitting up and leaning against the fireplace, and he just leaned forward, took the tongs, and the fire was blazing. It was a cold winter day evening, and he put the tongs in the fire, and he pulled out a coal, and he set it on the hearth and said nothing, and the two of them watched. They watched as the ember slowly but surely died. They watched as a once hot, burning coal with great intensity and light began to burn out. For a moment, once the coal was dead, all there was silence between the two of them. And at that point, the man looked at Moody and said, I see. When we are a part of the fire of God, we burn bright. And sometimes we're on the outer edges and we need to be brought back into the center where we burn even hotter and with a more intense light. But as soon as we're pulled from the fire, we begin to die. When we were not meant to grow into the image of Christ alone. Without others helping us, we may eventually die out and lose our burning light for Christ. Has anybody ever witnessed that either in yourself or in other people? And you just wished they would come back and join us. Paul, we know how this works because Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Read through this with me. Think about how Paul's saying this and the way he's saying it. He says this, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Y'all want to be filled with the fullness of Christ? It takes work so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Within the body of Christ, I am less prone to be taken by the world's ideologies. I'm more prone to find truth in the family of God through the truth. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, the tools we talked about this morning, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in what? Love. Love is not experienced in isolation. Love is experienced together. And when we're together, we begin to know true love. Without it, by the way, we create an illusion of love. It's in the midst of one another that we find what love really is. Is love easy or hard? It's hard, isn't it? Are we a perfect family? Y'all all got it figured out? We've never made mistakes here, right? We're all laughing because we know better, right? We're imperfect people following a perfect Savior who brings us together in love and perfects us. But you're not perfected alone. We're perfected together. In this passage, Paul defines our ministry to the church as helping family members grow up in Christ. Some people go, that's offensive. I feel like a child in my faith. Anybody else? I still feel that way. Like I always want to continue to grow and become something that God wants me to be. And I know that what I'm doing sometimes and the choices that I make keep me from doing that. I need you guys to help me grow up. I need you to help me grow up. This spiritual maturity allows us to be filled with the Spirit to the fullness of Christ, not the emptiness. Why do we need this? Well, without it, as Paul was saying, we're going to be tossed back and forth. Y'all ever been gotten in the ocean and the waves got really big, and at first you were able to kind of hold on to it, and then all of a sudden it was taking you and you couldn't have it? It was just like, I need someone to help me. That's what happens. And we get tossed back and forth by this one philosophy or this one ideology. We struggle with knowing the difference between God's truth and man's truth because they look pretty similar sometimes. This will result in us being led in two different directions all at the same time without really ever going anywhere. Y'all remember the poem, The Zode, by Dr. Seuss? Oh, you don't? Well, let me read it to you. I loved this one growing up. Did I ever tell you about the young Zode who came to two signs in the fork in the road? One said to place one and the other place two. So the Zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the Zode scratched his head and his chin and his pants. And he said to himself, I'll be taking a chance if I go to place one. Now, that place may be hot. And so, how do I know if I'm going to like it or not? On the other hand, though, I'll sort of be a fool if I go to place two and I find it too cool. In that case, I may catch a chill and turn blue. So maybe place one is the best and not place two. But then again, what if place one is too high? I may catch a terrible earache and die. So place two may be best. On the other hand, though, what might happen to me if place two is too low? I might get some very strange pain in my toe. So place one may be best. And he started to go. Then he stopped and said, on the other hand, though. And for 36 hours and a half, that poor Zode made starts and stops in the fork in the road, saying, don't take a chance. No, you might not be right. Then he got an idea that was wonderfully bright. Play safe, cried the Zode. I'll play safe. I'm no dunce. I'll start out for both places at once. And that's how the Zode, who would not take a chance, got no place at all with a split in his pants. How much do we do that in our lives? Constantly trying to... You know what? We know the way. Do you understand that? We know the way. And it's Jesus. And we have to take that way together. It's what we'll do in our spiritual lives. If we're not careful, we'll just keep on going, well, this and that and this. We'll be tossed from one human ideology to God, to that human ideology, and we'll be back, and I don't know, is it safe, is it right, is it, without ever making movement toward God. Instead, Paul encourages the Ephesians to take a chance to work toward maturity in Christ, and he tells them to do it together. That passage was not to a person, it was to a people. The purpose for this, he said, was that the body of Christ may grow and mature in love and in righteousness. Together, we will be less likely to play those mental games of the Zode. Together, we will. Together, we grow and mature in love and reflect that true body that Christ died for. So, this morning is kind of a practical morning, too. Get the sermonette and some practical stuff. Because I want you to know we're very serious about it here. As a matter of fact, what we talked about at the leadership retreat was a lot on discipleship. What is it about? So how do we get this? What does Fairfax offer to help us grow? I'm going to go through a few things to help maybe remind you as we're coming out and back to normal life. First, we offer a reading plan. Y'all know that? We've got it on our website. We have copies of it at the office. But an opportunity for you to dig in with other family members in the church to read through Scripture together. We've got that. Take advantage of it. Go download it from the website. Come by the church office. Pick one up. Start. Well, I get to Leviticus and then... That's okay. Don't let Leviticus stop you from reading God's Word. Reading plans. We also encourage and try to foster discipleship groups. What is a discipleship group? Well, true discipleship, as we've been talking about, is mutual. It's relationship in nature. Think about it this way. You guys know what conduits are. You see these conduits. They're up through the ceiling, stuff like that. In those run electrical wiring, okay? The conduit of God's love to get from one person to the next, conduit of God to get from one person to the next is love, and it's through relationship. And through relationship, we become more and more like Christ. So we want to help you guys focus on becoming more like Christ by building more relationships with others. So people that you would meet with regularly to get together with, you know, two or three people, meeting with for an extended period of time, digging into God's Word together, praying for one another, growing in Christ together. Does that sound like a good thing? Does that sound like a biblical thing? Yeah. Why don't we do it? So we do discipleship groups, and we help you either identify those individuals or you can do it on your own as well. This is something that the more we do it, the easier it becomes. But every time I talk to people about discipleship groups, they go, ugh, I don't know if I've got time for that. We make time for that which is important for us every time. So, discipleship groups. We also have Bible classes, and I want to throw these up here, even just for this semester. I want you to know, with our Bible classes, we have three goals with all of our Bible classes: transformation, fellowship, and multiplication. Those three things are why we do our Bible classes, and we are a very unusual church in most churches. Why? Because when you come to worship, most of you stay for class. Do y'all know that? We had, from last week, from those who came to worship, 85% of you stayed for class. In churches all over across the U.S., that's very abnormal. Y'all know why I think y'all want to do that? Because those three things happen: transformation, relationship, and multiplication. and you feel it, and you go in there, and you feel that these Bible classes are not just about sitting, and it says in Leviticus 1, you know, it's going in and digging. And we're going, and we're growing, and we're becoming that image of Christ together. So look at these. I'm a little biased, gotta say it. Gotta say I'm biased. I think we got some of the best teachers across the land. And if you go in these classes and participate, these teachers, facilitators will help you dig into things. Look at these. You've got two different classes to dig into the Gospel of John. Whether you want to go and be a part of the deaf class, learn ASL while you're learning the gospel, or you just want to go into the class, there's two of those. The letters to Timothy for our young professionals, that they're digging into what did Paul have to tell young Timothy, right? Sermon on the Mount with the ladies, and sometimes I want to go in that ladies' class. Man, they dig in. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, go be a part of that. How we got the Bible, man, when you get in there and you start understanding how the Bible came to be, you are amazed. There's not a single book in all of human creation that is like the Bible. Not a single one. And then you've got a time. And I'm going to tell you this. Paul Nagel and I talked a lot about this class. If you want go to this class on deepening and widening your prayer life, you will be praying. You will not be going in and sitting and all that is talking about how prayer is and I should pray. You're going to go in there and pray. And that's what it is. What better way could you spend your Sunday morning right after worship? But to go pray with other people. Can y'all grow through those? Can we grow? Bible classes. We also have these little things. Have y'all heard about growth groups? Anybody? Lisa's like, yes! Growth groups. Another opportunity for you to grow. Years ago, Lisa and I really took, because we at one point we were calling these groups small groups, like everybody else. And Lisa and I were like, that doesn't capture what we're trying to get across. Because anybody could have a small group. You can have an underwater basket weaving small group. But we wanted something more. And so that growth, that grow statement is, we want people growing in spiritual maturity, in relationships and connections with the body of Christ, and in bringing others into that body through those growth groups. And we've got some great growth groups scattered across the DMV that we would encourage you to take part in and be a part of. We've also, I don't know if y'all have heard of this too, we've got these things called ministries. Some of them are called things like children's ministry, youth ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, young professionals, college. Have y'all heard of those? Do you know what they do in those ministries? Give you opportunities to grow. Always, all the time, over and over again. But if you're not a part of those and taking part in what they offer, the chances are you're that once burning ember starting to burn out. During these things, we offer things like retreats and conferences and classes and studies and lots of things in order to help you grow. And the other thing that's a part of those ministries is taking part in mission trips. Whether you do go as a part of the student ministry, or you go as a part of maybe a young professionals group, or an adult group that goes to the DR, whatever it is, I will tell you, if you ever, ever take a chance to go and be a part of a mission effort, you will grow. Promise you. It's almost an impossibility not to. And today, announcing. So you're kind of like, we knew all that stuff, Phil. I got something new. Y'all ready? We have something new for you, and it's going to come up on the screen here. Well, all of you are familiar with this, either on your, and if you want to pull your phones out, you can look at this while I'm giving you permission to do it. On your phone or on your, web page online, you have these that you see when you get into our connections, our church planning app. Now we have a new tab. Y'all see that? It says grow. All right, let's go there. When you go there, you get to see the silly face that Ben put up of me. I knew Ben would do that. All right, so On those, we have different tabs. So first, up at top there, discipleship squared, D2, D squared. In there is where we get into how we view and teach people about what discipleship is here at Fairfax. There's videos, accompanied study guides, and you can get either the book D squared or Follow Me to go along with all of that. It is all there at your fingertips. You can do it from your phone, from your device, from your computer, and you can do it with other people. And by the way, other churches are already using that stuff. Do it too. It's there for you. Spiritual disciplines, if you click on that, it'll take you straight into all these different links to spiritual disciplines. It's not the exhaustive list because there's hundreds of them, but there are some easily downloadable for you to do personally or together with someone else. We also provide resources for you to dig into additional spiritual disciplines as you desire to grow, both individually and with others. All right, next out from the disciplines page, I've got to remember what's next. Oh, foundations. So on the foundations tab, again, you can go in here. If you've got someone you're teaching just about the principles of faith, maybe they don't know what to think about this concept of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Maybe they don't understand the concept of sin, or they're just grappling with it. All of those lessons, and even can be done progressively through 1 through 13, are ways in which you can go and do a study through that. Again, either by yourself or with other people, but it's there at your fingertips, already made for you. Underneath the foundations, we have a tab full, chocked full of resources. So when you go in there, it will tell you a ton of stuff, like how to get connected with Right Now Media. If you don't know it, you have a free membership to it. All you have to do is get connected. We've made that available to you. We have curriculums up there, full-blown curriculums, either to do a complete Bible study with someone or some group of people. They're all there. We have guided studies and devotionals, things like praying through the Psalms in 30 days that we've wrote for you. We've got things like 40 days of prayer and fasting that we've written and provided for you. And then we just have a resource list by topic of all the resources, many resources, I'm not going to say all, many resources out there that are available to you to grow. That, everything that you just saw, and by the way, Ben, let's go back to that last page so you can show what you put down at the bottom. At the very, very bottom is, if you got questions, comments about the page, things that you would love to see us put on there that would be helpful not only to you but to other people, let us know that. And then, again, another link of how to get connected to Right Now Media. That's on your phone as you're going and you're on your commute on the train or on the metro. When you're doing things and you got nothing else to do, you just kind of, you're sitting watching TV. Whew, I could pull this up and do this. We wanted to give you as a discipleship team, and I want to say thank you to Ben Dowling for working with us on this. He created that and made that happen. So give Ben a round of applause. Looks great. But all that stuff is there intentionally for you. Because guess what? If you haven't heard it this morning, we want you to grow. If you haven't heard that, we want you to grow. These things help us sharpen one another toward good works as we build each other up in love. Each of us needs others to help us grow. When the people of God gather around the Word of God, Jesus challenges our preferences, realigns our priorities, and confirms our purpose in His kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, and we all know this, these sorts of shifts and transitions can be painful, but they're necessary for growth. And you know that's why we call it growing pains. They're necessary. So what we're asking you to do is to come with us and grow. Come with us and grow. Don't try to do it alone. Do it as it was meant to be. You weren't meant to be alone. I have a funny thing to think about as we finish up this morning. Some of you have heard this before, some have not. It's an actual workman's compensation claim that came into an insurance company. The insurance company got the claim and had to write back to the individual to say, we need you to define what you said on this particular line. And this is the response they received back. To Workers' Compensation Claims Department from Mr. Joe Blattner, September 12, 1986. Workers' Comp Claim, date of loss, August 15, 1986. Gentlemen, I'm writing in response to your request for more information concerning block number 11 on the insurance form, which asks for the cause of injury, wherein I had written, trying to do the job alone. You indicated a need for further information, so I trust that this will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade, and on the date of injury, I was working alone, laying brick at the top of a four-story building when I realized that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to put them into a barrel and lower them by a pulley, which I had fastened to the top of the building. I secured the end of the rope at the ground level and went up to the top of the building and loaded the bricks into the barrel. I then pushed the barrel off the top of the building, loaded with 500 pounds of bricks. I then went down and untied the rope, holding it securely to ensure the slow descent of the barrel. As you will note on block number 6 of the work comp claim form, I weigh 145 pounds. Due to my shock at being jerked off the ground so swiftly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Between second and third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and the lacerations on my upper body. Regaining my presence of mind, I held tightly onto the rope and proceeded rapidly up the side of the building, scraping my side as I went up. I did not stop until my hand was jammed into the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. Despite the pain, I retained my presence of mind and held tightly to the rope. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground at the bottom and fell. The bottom of the barrel fell out, devoid of the weight of the bricks. The barrel weighed now about 40 pounds. I again refer you to block number 6 and my weight. As you may guess, I began a rapid descent. In the vicinity of the second floor, I met the barrel coming up. This explains the injuries to my legs and my lower body. Slowed by only slightly, I continued my descent, landing on the pile of bricks. Fortunately, my back was only sprained and the internal injuries were minimal. My ankles will heal well, I'm sure. And the break in my foot has been x-rayed and shows only a hairline fracture. I'm sorry to report, however, that at this point, I lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. As you may imagine, the empty barrel came down upon me with a vengeance and thus explains the 235 stitches on my scalp and back. The concussion was mild, and my memory should be fine in a few days. I trust this answers your concern regarding what I meant trying to do the job alone. Please be well assured that in the future, I will endeavor to share the workload. I have a feeling we're a lot like Joe when it comes to our personal relationship with Jesus. We take it so individualistically that we fail to realize the trouble we're going to get ourselves in. But with you, I know God can do great things with me. We are not meant to do it alone. We never have been. Now it's time to grow together. Let's sing.